today, Miss Katarina?
I am just dandy.
Just
How are
dandy.
You?
Well, I am just potato swift.
Potato swift?
Potato swift, whatever that would mean.
Well, you know, you've been coming up with some interesting sayings these days.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like what was pickle knees? I was pickle knees today.
You were pickle mm-hmm. knees. You were yeah. pickle knees. You were probably porcupine nose the other time.
Porcupine nose, yes. I've been chicken lips.
They're all oh. terms of endearment.
Yes, it's a good thing.
Yeah. All right, enough about us. Today we have a fantastic guest for you.
Yes, we do. We love this little muffin. She's a cutie pie.
A very, very, very cutie pie.
Sincere, authentic,
loving,
intelligent,
beautiful.
Entrepreneur.
Yes. We're going to get into that as well. And a former Power Ranger. But yes. I guess once a Power Ranger, always a Power Ranger. Please welcome Allison Sullivan.
Hey, sweet ladies. Thank you so much for all the kind words.
Oh, well, we are so honored to have you on our show for the second time. This is our first time having you as a podcast guest.
Actually, no, this is the third.
You're right.
Who knows it best? Our first time on Who Knows It Best.
Yes, and she's sadly lost to me.
Oh,
you know,
had to eat a very interesting mixture of vomitous. Thank you for not putting the tuna in there.
Yes, I was thoughtful.
Would have been.
Unlike Nakia, who was encouraging Aaron to put tuna on my Sunday.
When she lost.
Yes. Yes. And then we had you on live,
yeah.
which was very, and fans just absolutely loved that.
Yeah.
So thank you. And this is our, we just started this podcast. So thank you so much for being one of our first guests on our podcast.
We can't get enough of you.
It is my pleasure, and I feel the same. And I got a very cute name from Nakia. She called me Cheesecake today. I mean, I'm sweet, but I didn't know I was that sweet. Oh. So thank you.
So, Allie, what have you been up to? What have you been up to?
Well, today is the 19th anniversary, 19-year anniversary of the first day that Power Rangers Wild Force aired, February 9th. Wow. Yeah, 2002. Wow. And, you know, fans are telling me, sorry?
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. But, you know, this is the first year where I'm like, wow, that was almost two decades ago. What has happened in two decades? Feels like a whole lifetime.
Right. I know. Isn't it crazy right? How quickly time goes? It's crazy.
Yes. All over your one's face.
You are still gorgeous. So stop that.
Yes.
Oh, look who's talking. Thank you.
So what if you tell us a little bit about what you've done since after leaving Power Rangers, when you found out your season was ending, what did you venture into after Wild Force?
You know, I had a really good agency for a while and, you know, did a handful of other shows and guest stars and all of that. And then I made the grave error of opening up a business with my mom, a Curves women's gym in Hancock Park. And I thought, this is going to be great because I'm going to be the co-owner and I'll set my own schedule and all this. I didn't realize that opening up this business, look at your cup, it's fantastic, sorry. Tiny ball syndrome, sorry. That opening up this business would pull me away from my acting. So I was almost 26 when we opened the business and it basically absorbed all of my time. And I was trying to audition during this time. I had a really great agency, but at night, I would sometimes get 20, 30 pages for pilot season and I would still be working till 10:30. To 11 at night at the business because you have to, you know, do everything when you own your own business, right?
Right.
And then, you know, and so that, so a few years went by and then I got married. And so it was just, it really pulled me away from my acting, and it, that was really, really upsetting for me. And one of my biggest life regrets, I wish I hadn't done that, because, you know, acting is my greatest joy in life. And
so, responsible though, you thought that you were, you know, taking your money and buying a business as a great investment. Yeah. and giving you some support, because acting can be a very volatile business. But no regrets, because everything leads us to where we're meant to be. And you probably wouldn't have gotten into the business that you have, that's we're going to talk about in a minute, and be as successful as you've been, had you not gone through that. So
that is true. That is true. And, you know, I have a great management team and a great agency now, and we are working on things. I just had a great meeting with them yesterday. So I'm very much still looking forward to acting and doing that. And I can still do my business with that. But yeah, acting, that's my first love. So
yeah. Well, you're going to get back. Yeah. You're going to get back. Are you currently auditioning or anything like that?
Yeah. So we, you know, I had been on hold for a while because I just really wanted COVID to sort of be a little bit more under control and feel like, you know, the onset, you know, being on set was safe. You know, and what I've heard now is that it's probably one of the safest places you can be. You're tested every day.
Yeah.
It's super, super safe. So my meeting with them yesterday was talking about getting me back in as far as being, you know, submitted.
Good.
I feel like now, you know, it's just, this is no joke. This pandemic is no joke. And I just, my husband and his family, and I've had quite a few friends and their family get extremely sick with COVID. And so I just really wanted just to make sure that I was being responsible, and, you know, I see my parents quite often. So I just want to just, you know, make sure that I kept them safe too. But
yeah. And what have you been doing to cope through this, you know, crazy time? Has it been hard on you? Have you found it easy? What have you been doing to kind of take care of yourself?
Well, you know, it's lonely. And I think, you know, especially, you know, I don't, you know, I have fur babies, but I don't have children. So, you know, but I've been hiking a lot every day. Many days, like 4.5 miles with my dogs, just making sure that I get out. I think everyone during this time needs to make sure that they take a walk every day and get outside and get fresh air and move your body and look at the trees and look at the birds and, you know, just get some perspective, because staying inside and watching the news is very disheartening, right?
Yeah. That's really good advice.
You mean that too?
Connecting back to nature and the simplicity, because it becomes very insular, doesn't it? When you're in your house with the same people or the same animals or whatever all the time, and people have a lot more time on their hands to be on the internet and look at the news, and it can be very unsettling. I know that for myself. I've had to really make sure that I give myself restoration in being outdoors, going on a workout, just stepping away, because it can be very overwhelming.
Do you live by yourself, Allie, outside of your fur babies?
Yes.
So it's interesting having this conversation, because, you know, Kat and I talked about, we have a segment of coping with COVID, and obviously we have, you know, a husband and we have children, so we're not in a home by ourselves. But to hear a different perspective with someone that lives by themselves, you mentioned the word lonely, and that my heart just completely dropped to my feet when you said that, because that really hurt. How have you been coping? This, I know Kat had asked that question too, but how have you
honestly been coping being there by yourself in this form of isolation? Is it, are you fearful of contracting it? That's why you've decided to be a little bit more isolated than some people are, or you're more not concerned about yourself, but your family? Like if you did get it, you know, letting your family contract it, like what is, do you have a huge fear about this COVID for yourself or your family members?
No, I mean, health wise, I'm in pretty good shape. I'm not fearful of it, but my thing is for me to go around telling people to be thoughtful, to be careful, to be conscious of their behavior during this time, I also have to behave in the same manner. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen quite a few people I love in sort of our age group get COVID. And some, like one of my friends got it twice last year. He's my very, very old friend. He was a fairly healthy guy. He's gotten some of the most bizarre symptoms. He's lost all of his hair. You know, he got really.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I heard someone else that told me that someone that they know that contracted it lost their hair. It's really an interesting virus because you don't know how it's going to affect you personally.
That's very, very true. And I'm not fearful. Like, I mean, I have a certain very tiny group of friends who, you know, we will meet out on their front lawn and, you know, we'll have wine or we'll have dinner, or we'll go hiking. My oldest friend, they're my only friends who I actually, and I'm seeing them later today, which I'm so thrilled. I go, you know, in their house and I have dinner with them and their baby, because I know they're only working from home. They have gone nowhere. They are, you know, in their bubble like I am. So they've been, you know, my sort of, you know, source of real human contact. But, you know, guys, I miss hugs so much. You know, I'm like a huge hugger. And it's like, well, I hug my dogs and that's huge day. It's not the same thing.
Yeah, that human contact. That's been a challenge for me too. I think it's, I hug her. Same.
Yes. You guys are so blessed to have each other and to work together each day.
Yes.
We also, though, we take COVID tests. Yeah. Before, because, you know, my mother-in-law lives with us. She lives in the guest house, and
wow.
I had an autoimmune disease. So we also make sure that we're safe by taking COVID tests and I've been on set as well. We were talking about being back on
set.
If we get tested
frequently,
yeah. You know, all of the scenes are done with your mask on until they say roll with it, you know, at least in the sitcom world. And then on that day is the only day that you take off your mask. But then there's also the separation. You have to be 6 feet apart. They're trying to get you to be 6 feet apart when you're just waiting for your scene to come up. So, we try to, I think we are just built to have human interaction.
Yeah.
And just like you, we are such huggers. And we talked about that on set too. I'm so used to hugging like my co-stars or the kids that are playing my children. And I just want to hug them. And I'm like, ah, and they're like, I want to hug you. And we're just standing there like, we want to hug each other. Yeah, it's really awkward. And it feels very impersonal. You can't, it's like a part of you, you're not able to share because of this pandemic.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Completely. Yeah. Well, also, I'm very proud of you. That's really, you know, I've been watching your shooting and I'm just, you know, I'm just thrilled. Seeing that. So congratulations.
Well, let's talk about Sullivan Farms real
yes.
quick.
Yes.
What's going on with Sullivan Farms?
Well, how did it start?
Yeah.
I'm really curious. I don't think I've ever asked you that question.
Oh, well, I, about a decade ago, two of our family friends, very old family friends, like 50 years friends, every Christmas, if you were really lucky, you would get this little tiny jar of this very spicy kind of creamy mustard that you had never tasted ever in your life. And I very boldly finally, like, you know, asked them, like, hey guys, could you teach me how you make this? Because we basically have to wait an entire year to get one little jar of this stuff, because it was very expensive to make. So I know that they, you know, they made it once a year for their very select group of friends. And they taught me how to make it, but it had eggs and butter in it. So it wasn't something that could live on a shelf. Right. And then I love to feed people. I really love to feed people. So I shared it with my neighbors because I started to make it. And I actually have started to sell it at my gym. My neighbor said, Ellie, gosh, this is so good. What do you put in this? And I said, oh, I put this and this, I put eggs, I put butter. And she was like, Allison, you've been feeding me eggs and butter. I'm a vegan. And I said, I really don't know what a vegan is. I have no clue what you're talking about. And she was like, you've been feeding me this. I'm like, I'm so sorry, you know, because it's mustard, right? You're like, when does mustard have eggs and butter in it? But so she said, I am tasking you with making this so I can eat it. And I was like, okay, you know, sure. And it took me a while, but I came up with a very different formula for it. And it does taste different than the original formula, but it's my own. And my friends gave me their blessing to use, you know, their mustard formula, but then make it my own. And that blessing sort of, you know, started me on this journey of, like, you know, making it shelf stable. That was a whole other thing. I started selling it at farmers markets.
Yeah.
And I was in tons of farmers markets. And then I figured out how to make it a fully commercial product. And then I started trying to sell it in stores. And what really helped me, guys, is my friend Darren Davis helped me do a press release. And that actually helped me get written up in Weight Watchers magazine. That kind of blew my mind. And in Tailgater magazine, which is a beautiful magazine, and some other ones. And then that helped me get a feature in the LA Weekly, which really helped me. And then that sort of caught the eye of some actual market chains. And the rest is history. And now I'm in 52 stores nationwide.
That is incredible, Allie. I know acting is your first love, but God has gifted you with this. There's nobody that I know personally outside of you that has a store product that's actually in stores.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people that I've met along the way, you know, they have products or they have food or so forth, but they've never had the opportunity to get it in store. So that is a huge accomplishment.
And it is delicious. It I is. Must say it is quite special. Mm-hmm. And I must share this with you, Allie, that my friend here, I left your mustard in the fridge when we filmed that episode. And
okay.
I received it back because I think Nicholas, her husband, perhaps indulged in my mustard.
Oh, girls.
So I may have to get some more from you because it was really good. Even on the ice cream. So
sweet. Yeah.
You even had it on your ice cream.
Yeah.
Yes, I did. Well, it's sweet and spicy. So, and you know, I have actually had people tell me to do the weirdest stuff. So there is mustard ice cream, which, I mean, I just think of and then just gag. But that's with, like, the yellow... you know, like the hot dog kind.
Right.
But mine, you know, I've had, like, friends say, Allie, why don't you try to, like, do an ice cream like swirled with the mustard, just like for real.
You could do like some kind of cheese mustard ice cream, kind of like, because they do bacon. They do. I mean, there is savory ice cream now, and it's actually, it sounds gross. Like I had one that was balsamic goat cheese and basil ice cream.
Ooh,
amazing. That sounds really weird, it tasted amazing. The salty and the sweet and the little bit of the tang with the balsamic, it was delicious. Wow. So you could come up with
it. Did it have chunks in it?
It did not have chunks in it. It was smooth, but I know bacon chocolate ice cream with salt. They have sea salt.
I think I've tasted bacon ice cream before.
It's good. It's really good.
Yeah.
So you might be onto something there. You think we'll take 2%.
Yeah. For the idea.
For the idea. Well, we have fun questions for you to finish up.
Great.
These are our 10 power questions.
Yes.
So we're going to ask you these and just kind of give the fans a little insight into who Ali really is.
Yes.
Yes.
So the
first question is, if you could have any superpower, what would it be and why?
Oh my goodness. I would really love to be able to fly.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a very good one. I think we've heard that one before too. I would love to have that as well. Or teleport.
Would you have wings? Oh,
yes. No, just fly. I mean, women deal with way too much stuff and then to add wings. No.
Wings. Work today.
Right. I have had so many dreams where I'm flying, like so many dreams. Yes. You guys too?
Yes.
Aren't they amazing? Like they amazing.
When you fall, have you had the ones where you're flying free and then all of a sudden you're like, you're falling?
No.
And then I wake up before I hit the ground.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes, I have. Those are terrible. Those are not fun ones. Those are not fun.
No.
But the others are.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Question number two.
Question two. What are you really good at but hate to do?
Oh. Hmm. I'm very good at cleaning. But I hate to do it. Especially the older you get, the longer you've been cleaning. And I'm just sick of it. I'm just, you know, I've had my own place since the age of 18. I'm about to turn 44. I'm just tired of it. I just want someone just to come in and just, you know, just make it all disappear for me.
That should be a superpower, that you click and it's clean. I would like that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's a superpower that has the flying and the cleaning. Like you can go and, you know,
you fly around and you watch everything go back into place.
Work. Oh,
that would be lovely.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, question number three. If you could go back in time, what advice would you give your younger self?
Oh my gosh. You know, I'm one of those weird people who like wishes that I could. Like I was actually wishing that last night when I was at the dog park sitting there watching my dogs play. I'm like, if I could just go back in time, oh my goodness, the things I could fix and fix with the planet too, you know. I would tell her to do what I have been doing, which is just never give up on your dreams. Just never, ever. And to probably put down the large amount of carbs that I started eating so that I don't have to work so hard now.
Put down
the Domino's pizza so that you're not fighting the fat cells that you, I mean, no, I'm sorry. That sounds extremely lame. No, but just take better care of me and my body so that later on, like you're not dealing with certain things, like stretch more and, you know, take more walks, that type of a thing, you know?
Understood.
Yes. I think as our younger selves, we don't think about longevity at all. You're just kind of living in the moment and just stuffing your
Totally. Food.
Yeah.
Well, because your metabolism is just, I remember I would eat like nobody's business when I was younger. I was as thin as a toothpick. Actually, I used to be called snake hips. And
you were gorgeous, please.
I was so skinny. I always had a booty. I always had a booty.
Excellent.
And I would just be bare, but I'd be very skinny and very narrow and long legged. So after I had my children, so I didn't care about what I ate. I had hamburgers and tacos and as much as I wanted. My digestion was really great. But then after I had children, everything changed. Everything changed for me. My metabolism changed and all of that. So I get when we're younger, we just think we're invincible.
I remember when I was younger, I've always had a very dangerous relationship with chocolate.
And she still does.
And I still do. And I remember, Ali, I remember praying to God and saying, make me allergic to it. I can't eat it because I can't resist it. And then I got Hashimoto's disease and I'm not supposed to eat it, but I still eat it.
Oh.
I'm not supposed to eat gluten, chocolate, all these things. So my point is that even when you can eat all these things in your youth, you don't know what it's going to do to your body later. And we've got our body is a temple. We should be putting things in it that are nourishing and good for us and make us have a healthy, long life. But we don't
absolutely
think it tastes so darn good.
Yes.
Darn it.
Well, it's the quality of your life too. It's not like, okay, well, I wish I had eaten better so I look better. I mean, yes, of course, but your health, which I learned having that, terrible back problem the other year, your health affects your entire life.
Yeah.
And if you are not healthy and able to perform life's many tasks, feeling good, that can just ruin everything. So yeah. I would definitely say to any fans out there, it's not about how you look. It is about your health.
Yeah.
And the older you get, sadly, your body comes up with these health problems that you're like, well, I'm never going to have that. That's only something that old people get. Well, if you're blessed to be getting older, which is a blessing to age, because we're still here, your body is going to start to have problems. So the better you take care of your body, the less junk you eat, you're going to have a better life experience.
Such a tangent. Yes. You talked about chocolate.
Let's
I must be hungry.
Let's get back to our power questions.
Okay.
All right. Number four. What do you want your legacy to be when you're gone?
That's a lovely question. Just that I brought some light to the world, that I, made people feel good, and that I made them smile, that I made them laugh,
That's lovely.
I think
it's bringing joy to people.
Yeah. Well, my favorite thing to do is to make people laugh. And so, playing Taylor while fun was the opposite of that. So.
She was more serious, huh?
Yeah, she was the scowler. She was not the levity bringer, that's for sure. Anyways.
Right. Okay. Question number five is a good one. What are you most grateful for in your life?
Really, friends and family to me are everything. Money comes and goes. Youth comes and goes. Your health comes and goes. But the love from friends and family to me are what it's all about, really.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What it's everything to me.
What is number six? What is the most courageous thing you've ever done?
Courageous. Wow. I've put myself in some scary situations where I saw someone being attacked, and it happened a few times, and I was 20 nothing, and I tried to stop them from getting hurt. And then had to go testify and all that. I've always sort of tried to stick up for people or to help people, even when it was probably very dangerous and very stupid of me to do so. But that's just how I am built. I just see a need for help and I just go help. I think that's probably that. And also going after my dreams. And, you know, I think that's also like a very scary thing too.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
This is not an easy business to be a part of. So a lot of people end up losing their heat by being a part of it and end up leaving it because it's very overwhelming. And it's just, as we all know, there's so many ups and then there's so many more downs.
Yeah. And it's way more so.
Yes. There's so many times where I was like, I'm done. I ain't coming back. And I'm like, okay, I'm here.
It takes a lot of resilience. It really does. You should be proud of yourself for staying
connected. Thank you so much. It's just in my blood. It's just what I feel I'm supposed to be doing. So I don't really feel that I have a choice. It's just like, okay, well, this is my purpose, you know? So
that's beautiful.
Stay with it. Thank you.
All right. Question number 7 is, what is the best piece of advice that you've ever received?
I have said this before, but kindness is next to godliness. Mm-hmm. And so is silliness. It's a quote that was on my father's office wall for many years, and I still have it. And the first line in it says, persistence and determination are omnipotent.
Oh, yes. I like that.
Yeah.
And that is in the back of my mind all the time, you know? At some point, if you keep going and you're determined, at some point, it's bound to happen. Might not happen how you pictured it or specifically wanted it.
Yes.
But,
doors will open.
It's almost like it's like a biblical term too, where the Lord says, keep knocking, and the door will open. That's what.
That's exactly it. That's exactly. Yeah, that's wonderful.
One thing you both share is this passion, like this drive. And when you are excellent at what you do and you give something your very best, it does pay off. It always pays off in the end because people. It's not a common trait for people to work hard like that. That's a gift. And I think that's a beautiful, rare thing. So it does pay off and you just have to keep at it, you know?
Yeah. And it's like, you know, I started acting. I've been SAG since 1986, you know, and, you know, and then each decade you're like, okay, well, I'll be playing different roles. I'm not going to be playing that role or that role, but you just kind of, you know,
evolve.
But you keep at it. Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. Question 8. If someone made a movie about your life, would it be a drama, comedy, romantic comedy, action film, science fiction, or horror?
Dun, dun, dun.
And why?
Well, here's what's funny. As you were reading that, I was checking off every box. And it would literally have the elements of every single one of those things. Really and truthfully. Seriously.
I love that. That would be a very interesting movie then.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
We would be on a journey.
Yes.
Of highs and
I had the FBI telling my family years ago that we had to go to a safe house. I have had Wow. If I wrote a book about my life and what has happened, people would just think that
that bit
was made up. Yes, exactly. And, you know, being a Pisces too, it's like, you know, it's like a total roller coaster.
Fluid,
you know.
Right? Water.
Right? Exactly.
Yes. All right. Question number 9 is, can you describe one of your most embarrassing moments?
Embarrassing. I don't get embarrassed all that much, which is probably why I'm good at acting, because often you do embarrassing things while acting. I've had a stutter stammer since I was about 8, and it just sort of happened, which was very frustrating. And I think probably the embarrassing moments of my life have been when I've been trying to say something to somebody, especially in business or acting, and, you know, I'm trying to say something and then I'll like stutter or stammer. That's sort of been one of the most challenging and most embarrassing aspects of my life. It's very, very frustrating. And so, you know, people make fun of Biden and I'm like, well, he has a stutter stammer and he's the president of the United States now.
Yes.
So, you know, don't make fun of him, because it's really not something that you can
control.
And it's extremely, extremely frustrating. And, you know, making fun of people is not cool in any way, shape or form.
Right.
So especially when it's something physical and they can't help it. So kindness is a serious virtue. And I think we all should always be much more kind.
I agree.
This world would be a much different place and much better place if we had some form of kindness, a lot more form of kindness.
Amen to that.
Last power question. Woo-hoo!
What would you do if you found a penguin in your freezer?
Is he alive or is he dead?
It's up to you. Alive. If you found an alive penguin.
OMG. I would add him to my menagerie of creatures in my house. And I would probably go to the store right away and buy him snacks, like fish, frozen fish. And I would be so excited. But then I would probably go, oh, you know, this is not the ideal place for him. So I'd probably be like, oh, I'm going to have to find like a more suitable home for him. But I might keep him for a few days and, like, you know, play with him. Where did that question come from, woman?
We love just doing a shock. We always want to shock people. Like, they're waiting for a really like deep question and then we throw that one out. And they're like, everyone has gone like pause for like a few seconds.
Yeah, they're like, did I
really?
Penguin? Huh? In another life, Ali, you could have been a zoologist or something like that, marine biologist, I don't know, something. have a farm, have a, you know, you're just such an animal lover. It's so sweet.
Oh, thank you. Well, hence my Sullivan Farms.
Yeah.
I named it Sullivan Farms because it was born from my home. And even back then, my home felt like a small zoo. So instead of Sullivan Zoo, I called it Sullivan Farms. So
yes.
I love creatures big and small.
Oh, we love you.
Yes, thank you so much, Ali, for being on our show again.
Again.
You are the only one, actually, that has been in. We just need you on Power Cook-Off now.
Oh, yeah.
Because that would be almost every segment. Power Cook-Off and
playback. And she could meet Nancy.
She could meet Nancy or Liz.
Yeah, she could.
One of our characters.
I would love that. Thank you so much for, you know, for including me and for your very wonderful questions, very thoughtful and wonderful questions, and for your big smiles and your sweetest cheesecakes.
Well, we love you and so appreciate you. Thank you so much for being on our show, my love.
Yeah, thank you. And we'll see you next time, guys.
Bye. All right. Bye. Love you. Bye, girls.